Welcome to our guests today in the Radio St. Pete Thrive downtown St. Petersburg studio. They are Rick Smith and Mike Davis, co-directors of Chorus Angelorum, bringing us a free Christmas concert at the Cathedral Church of St. Peter on Williams Park on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock.
Before we get to the specifics of the concert, let's meet these two gentlemen who are responsible for, I guess you are the co-directors, is that correct?
Yeah, we're kind of co-directors. We've worked on this group together for quite a few years. Yeah.
We actually started in 2001.
Wow. Well, let's talk about that because this is an a cappella choir. Mm-hmm. And a cappella means?
Without instruments, okay. Like the chapel.
only beautiful voices.
And how did this organization get going here?
Okay, Rick, you got to talk about this. Okay.
Well, it started out, I was a church musician at First Presbyterian here in town. And it started out as a group that really wanted to do some early music, some things that took more time than we could do in regular choir rehearsal. So that's how we started.
Mm-hmm. And when was that?
2001.
Yeah, 2001.
Okay, mm-hmm. So you're at a milestone year. And then
that's right.
And then Mike, when did you appear?
Well, actually, I was a singer. Actually, Rick and I worked together at First Presbyterian. I was an associate pastor there.
Oh, okay.
And actually, I convinced him to come to St. Petersburg.
He did. That's true.
I think it was a threat more than it was a promise.
Maybe.
But even so, convinced him to come, and he said, we ought to do this. And I said, okay, we'll do it. I'll sing. And we put together a group of people. I think, what did we start out with, about 10 or 12?
I think it was 12, yeah.
Yeah, 12. 12 people started, and we started doing early music and early Renaissance music. And it was beautiful stuff. It was really great fun to do. And Rick is probably the best at this that he's by far.
You're bragging on me now. Best. Stop.
I'm bragging on you. But he is the best at this kind of thing of anybody I've ever known. And so we got started. Then things kind of changed. Things went different ways. And Rick went to Burlingame, California.
San Francisco,
yeah. And did a church there. And the group didn't want to disband.
I see.
And so when he left, somebody said, well, Mike, why don't you do it? Because I've taught vocal music for 44 years. Mm-hmm. And so they said, why don't you do it? And I said, oh, you're going to be sorry. But I did take it over. And I think it was, how long were you gone?
I was out there 5 years. And then I was in North Carolina for a couple of years. So okay. It's probably 7 years
about,
or so.
About 7 years. So I conducted the group for 7 years. We did it. And we sort of changed our format a little bit from just early music mm-hmm. to a lot of music. And in fact, we sang just about any place that would let us sing. Yeah, but we did some Beatles things. We did some Paul Simon things. But our roots were always in Renaissance music and common practice period music. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, after a while, Rick came to his senses and he came back.
And I moved back to the most beautiful place on earth.
Exactly, and he saved the group from me.
You know, First Presbyterian Church has the reputation of a room with, you know, fantastic acoustics.
Well, they do. And it's a great space.
You know, it is a favorite of Anton Armstrong and the St. Olaf Choir and Concordia College Choir has been at First Pres. Yeah. Was that, as a former associate pastor there, was that part of the plan or was it just built that way and people said, this is a great place to listen to music?
Well, it is an incredible place to sing. Terrible place to speak, but an incredible place
to
sing.
Not a terrible place, a difficult place.
It's just
place.
A very difficult place to speak because the reverberation is like almost 4.5, 5 seconds. But at the same time, it's a great place to sing. And so, the building lent itself to that, and people realize that. In fact, the Master Chorale of Tampa Bay has recorded there several times. And in fact, we recorded there, didn't we?
Yeah,
we did. We recorded there. So,
but right now we've been rehearsing at St. Thomas Episcopal, and let me tell you, that's an equally beautiful room mm-hmm. to sing in. Mm-hmm. Not as big, but really a wonderful place for early music.
Have you taken your group abroad? Have you sung in Europe at all?
No, that's a dream.
The group did go to San Francisco.
Yes.
Okay.
And we sang our group with under my direction. We went to San Francisco and sang with his group in San Francisco.
Okay.
We had a wonderful time. It was great. But we have not traveled. We still want to.
Mm-hmm. I was curious how you know, acoustics in rooms like this, compare with the great cathedrals of Europe.
Well, I've been to Europe with my church choirs before.
Okay.
I would put First Pres and any major cathedral together. I mean, they're really very similar.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, let's talk about the concert on Tuesday night, and let's get into some detail.
Okay.
And you're going to have some instrumentalists with you.
We have six instrumentalists. We have a string quintet and harpsichord, mm-hmm. and we're with that group. They're called the Iona Consort, and with that group. Mm-hmm. We're doing an unusual work. We're doing a Magnificat that used to be attributed to Pergolesi, that now, after much research, is we know that it was written by his teacher, Durante. Not that that matters, but it's a beautiful Magnificat. It's about 15 minutes long. It doesn't get performed that often, and I'm glad we're able to do it.
And it's loads of fun to sing, yeah. Loads of fun to listen to as
mm-hmm.
well.
Right. How do you go about finding works or selecting works?
Oh, good question. I spend a lot of time at this. I have to be realistic with what the group can do, and the group is built for chamber style singing. You know, it's not. It's not an oratorio type of
right,
ensemble.
Right, right.
So I look through lots of literature. I listen to lots of recordings until something strikes me like, yes, that would be great, you know, mm-hmm. for us to do.
And then I try to talk him out of something.
Right.
talk about where do the singers come from?
They're all local folks.
Right.
You know, we have some that come from Tampa.
From Tampa, yeah.
But they're all local folks. They're all people who a lot of them have sung or right, maybe right. even do sing in Master Chorale mm-hmm. and other ensembles.
Yeah.
But they just want to do this kind of music, and they want to do it in a small enough group that's demanding
right.
that you know will kind of allow us to do what we do.
Right.
In a group like this, if you miss. If one person in the section is missing,
that's a problem.
It affects the whole sound.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
So,
absolutely.
And that's a problem, but yeah. it's also exciting for the singers to know that what they do really matters, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the nature of chamber singing.
Talk about conducting, choral conducting versus an orchestra. And, you know, is it different?
And well, I do both, so... No, it's not different.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of conducting, I think, depends on how you train your singers or instrumentalists to know your particular moves. But you know, good conducting is good conducting. I mean, if you're clear with the singers, if you are, I think when you conduct with singers, you have to give them time to breathe, and you have there are physiological things that are different than. You know, a violinist,
okay.
you know, bowing. But I have to say that I love singers, obviously, but they're not always the most precise people metrically. And,
yes.
you know, so that's different from instrumentalists because they're on the money,
right,
you
yeah.
know.
How many times conductors have been recorded saying, watch,
right.
watch, 7 minutes.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, that's that's one of the big joke is,
right.
well, it's okay, nobody watches me anyway.
Yeah, nobody watches me anyway.
Well, how about the rest of the concert? We have the first, we have a major
right,
work, and
right.
what else will you
we're,
be saying?
We're with the instrumental group, we're also doing a setting of In Dulce Jubilo.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Baroque setting. Very sweet, very simple, but just it's very Christmas-like to me.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a neat we're doing another famous carol, Nativity Carol by John Rutter. Everybody mm-hmm. loves John Rutter.
Right.
And then we're doing a whole section of music at the beginning of the concert that's our unaccompanied literature. We're doing some Healy Willen. We're doing some Morales, who is the top Spanish Renaissance composer of his day. And we're doing some Bruckner,
Yeah, we're doing and we're doing three Christmas carols of wood.
Of Charles Wood.
Charles Wood.
Yeah.
Which are, you know, they're well known. Everybody knows them. Right, yeah, that'll be and they'll and they're fun. And actually, we've got some of the Iona Contra, the violist, is playing with us on.
He's not playing with us when we sing it. He weaves it together. He plays the introduction and interludes between all three carols. It's kind of a
beautiful,
fun thing.
Beautiful, yeah.
You know, when I talked him into doing that, he looked at me like, you mean they're all one right after another? I said, yeah, that's the way
Well, we've spoken about First Presbyterian Church and other great churches here in the area, and, of course, the Cathedral Church of St. Peter, one of the most historic buildings in St. Peter.
Yes, and a beautiful building.
Literally, we're in the building.
Right, correct.
Thrive Downtown St. Pete, where our studio is, could be thought of as part of the Sunday school building.
That's right.
At the Cathedral. But talk about that sanctuary to perform.
Well, it'll be new for me because this is the first time that I've ever performed in that church. I go there to worship, but that's different when I'm singing a hymn in the back. You know, that's a different thing. But we did an Evensong there.
We did an Evensong there. Actually, for years and years, I worked at Canterbury School as a music director for 40 years. And we had all of our graduations there. So my student choir used to sing, and there's a wonderful place to sing.
Good,
I mean, it's
good.
A wonderful place to listen
as
well. And we've heard, I think we heard Chanticleer sing
we
there
did.
Several
yes.
years ago. Yeah. So, yeah, it's a beautiful, it's probably one of the best places in downtown St. Petersburg, except First Pres.
And it's visually beautiful, I think.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's so historic, and I think it's a beautiful space.
It is a wonderful Christmas performance coming up Tuesday evening. Particulars, tickets, what time, and all that.
It's 7 o'clock. It's free to the public. All of our concerts are free, and please come and listen and enjoy yourself for this holiday season.
Well, we are thrilled that we will have some recordings from Chorus Angelorum featured here on Radio St. Pete over the immediate future, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and we hope it's the first of many.
We look forward to that.
Yeah, very much.
Well, thank you, and great luck with the concert.
Thank you.
Rick Smith and Mike Davis of St. Petersburg's Chorus Angelorum performing Tuesday night at 7 o'clock inside the Cathedral Church of St. Peter.